Right, thank you. My talk is entitled Switchgrass and Mixed Perennial Biomass as Affected by Nitrogen and Harvest Management. So why do we care? First of all, we have a climate change problem, and native perennials have been identified as one way that we could help reduce our dependence on fossil fuels. There's a number of benefits, not the least of which is that they can grow on marginal soils. So soils that are not peak for food crop production, maybe soils that are environmentally sensitive, these are places where we might be able to grow some of these crops. They can also act as multi-purpose crops, meaning not only for bioenergy, but they could also be used for forage, for habitat conservation, for soil stability, things like that. One example is that in Minnesota, in 2015, we just passed a buffer law, meaning that producers must plant perennial crops within a given footage of public waters. So perhaps switchgrass or other native perennials would be good candidates for those types of mixed purpose plantings. They're also logistically feasible, meaning that producers can deal with them similar to a hay crop, so they have a lot of the equipment necessary to do so. And there's great yield potential that is yet to be realized from these crops. If you consider relative to a corn or a soybean, these perennials and switchgrass in particular is really in sort of the early stages of hybridization and intensive breeding. So in Minnesota, in particular, we are examining three switchgrass cultivars planted in monoculture, and then we're comparing those to three native polycultures, which I will describe momentarily, to give producers potentially some options, and also we're growing them on those marginal soils. The switchgrass monocultures that we are growing are Shawnee and Sunburst, which are two forage varieties. They've been bred for forage. And the thing about these is that they are adapted to northern climates. So with switchgrass, they're photoperiod sensitive, meaning that their biological cycles are controlled by day length. So if you plant them too far north or too far south of their zone of origin, they won't do so well. And in particular, if you plant them too far north, they may not be adapted to survive winter. So Liberty, what's very interesting about Liberty is that this is the first bioenergy hybrid that has been available on the market. It came out of the University of Nebraska Breeding Program in 2014. Now Liberty is bred specifically for bioenergy production. So it has high yield from a more southern cultivar, but it also has adaptability over winter from a northern cultivar, and so we are trying Liberty in Minnesota. The polycultures we're looking at our conservation reserve program mix, a mix of forbs, legumes, cool and warm season grasses that are all adapted to Minnesota, a low diversity grass mix of side oats grama, big blue stem, and Indian grass. And then we're also adding some native legumes to that low diversity grass mix to see if we can get any influence of the nitrogen fixing properties of those legumes and just expand options for producers. Our two sites are on what we consider to be marginal soils. So the first site in Lamberton is in southwestern Minnesota, and that is a loam soil. It has relatively high organic matter, 4.9%, and a pH of about 5.3. It's considered marginal because it is moderately eroded and it's slightly sloping. The site was established in 2013, and we have 2 years of treatment data on this site. Our site in Becker is at east central Minnesota, and Becker is a loamy sand soil with low organic matter and moderate pH of 6.4. It's excessively drained, which is why it's considered marginal. It's a very droughty soil. It has low water holding capacity. This site was established in 2012, and we have 3 years of treatment data on this site. Our experimental design was that we had two harvest treatments, and this was to give producers options. So we have our near-end thesis or peak growth harvest, which tends to happen in early to mid-August. And then we have our post-frost harvest, where the perennials are allowed to then freeze down. They're senescing. They're translocating nutrients back into the roots for the following year. So those are two harvest treatments. Our cultivars, as I've described, we have six in total. We have three nitrogen treatments, a control, a 56, and 112 kilograms per hectare. Biomass was determined with a Carter harvest, as well as a subsample by hand, which we separated our desired species from our weed plants. So what we found is that we found a three-way interaction at Becker between harvest, feedstock, and nitrogen. And I will go through this chart, but I just want you to know that on the y-axis we have biomass yield, and on the x-axis we have our harvest and feedstock treatments along with nitrogen. So we're going to start by talking about our switchgrasses. And the other thing to keep in mind is that we don't apply nitrogen during the establishment year with these crops because we want to minimize competition with weeds. So our treatment years are just post-establishment. So here at Becker, looking at our switchgrasses, the first thing to notice is that in the post-frost harvest, in general, yields were higher. Especially on this coarse textured soil at Becker, the plants just don't have enough resources after that peak growth harvest in August to regrow and be able to obtain enough nutrients to store for the next year. It's particularly Liberty and also Shawnee really suffered in that repeated near anthesis harvest. The Sunburst, which is a very well-adapted species for our area, did pretty okay with that repeat near anthesis harvest. In the post-frost harvest, Liberty, Shawnee, and Sunburst all did very well, but you may notice that Liberty, the high nitrogen treatment in Liberty did not do as well as the middle nitrogen treatment in Liberty. And we think this is because there was significant weed pressure in the Liberty. We did find that the Liberty was not as robust when competing with weeds relative to those more well-adapted cultivars. We also had a drought year in 2013, and on these coarse textured soils that was very detrimental, particularly to the Liberty, and followed that up with a very harsh winter. So we do see some survivability issues with the Liberty. But otherwise, there were some differences in nitrogen. Clearly, adding nitrogen helps. There were some differences in between the 56 and the 112, although it wasn't necessarily consistent. Moving over to our polycultures, the Conservation Reserve Program mix, that CRP mix, did okay in the near anthesis, but it did not do very well in the post-frost harvest. Again, these are just native plants adapted for not biomass production, but more for habitat and conservation, so that's okay. The low diversity grass mix did particularly well in the post-frost harvest. It did okay in the near anthesis harvest, but the post-frost harvest is where it did really well, and it did respond to nitrogen, both of those, and there we do see a significant difference between the 56 and the 112 kilograms of nitrogen in the post-frost. When we added the legumes to the low-diversity grass mix, we did not see any significant increase in yield relative to the low-diversity grass mix for any given nitrogen or harvest treatment. The only thing we did see was that the low-diversity grass mix plus legumes, there was no difference in the control to the 56 kilograms of nitrogen. So we did see a little bit of a yield increase, but no more than the low-diversity grass mix itself. So if we were to give stars to the best producers, we would see our switchgrass monocultures in the post-frost harvest, as well as that low-diversity grass mix. And in the near anthesis harvest, it is the Sunburst switchgrass fertilized at 112 kilograms of nitrogen. Moving on to Lamberton, we have two treatment years at Lamberton. Once again, biomass yield on the y-axis, and we have harvest on the bottom. We had two-way interactions. I'm going to start by talking about the harvest by feedstock, and then we'll move on to the feedstock by nitrogen. So looking at our harvest treatments, again, we're going to start with our switchgrasses. And in our switchgrasses, we see similar things to what we saw at Becker. Now remember, this is the loam site that has a high soil organic matter and relatively low pH. And we have our Sunburst and our Shawnee switchgrass that both did very well, and this time regardless of harvest treatment, unlike at Becker. So here we have both the near anthesis and the post-frost producing similar amounts. The Liberty did not do as well as the other two at this site. Particularly in that post-frost harvest, the Liberty just did not perform as well. And I honestly can't tell you why. There was significantly more weedy biomass in the Liberty in the post-frost harvest relative to the other switchgrasses and relative to the near anthesis harvest. But otherwise, perhaps Liberty may be more sensitive to low pH than the other switchgrasses, or perhaps there is some other nutrient interaction that we weren't looking at in this study. So there needs to be a little bit more work to figure out exactly what's going on there. Moving on to the polycultures. That low-diversity grass mix did very well. In fact, it did just as well as the most productive switchgrass monocultures. Once again, adding the legumes to the low-diversity grass mix did not improve yields. And the Conservation Reserve Program mix did pretty well in the near anthesis, but not so well in the post-frost. Again, very similar to the results that we saw at our Sandy site. Stars to the best producers. Once again, low-diversity grass mix and our best adapted feedstocks. Switchgrass feedstocks. All right, so moving on to our feedstock by nitrogen interaction at our Lamberton site, starting with the switchgrasses. And once again, you can see that Shawnee and Sunburst did very well, better than Liberty, but what you will notice is that there are no differences between 56 and 112 kilograms of nitrogen at this site. So really adding, we don't need to add nearly as much nitrogen under these conditions with a loam soil and a relatively high organic matter. If we were to then look at the polycultures, The low-diversity grass mix, once again, did very, very well under these circumstances. The low-diversity grass mix plus the legumes did not outperform the low-diversity alone, although we do see the same thing, where the zero nitrogen, the legumes do help to boost that production in the zero nitrogen, but that's not necessarily because the grasses are responding, it's also because the legumes themselves are doing very well, too, at this particular site. So if you're using a zero nitrogen situation, that might not be a bad option. But otherwise, if you're planning to fertilize to boost production, the low diversity grass mix is going to be a better option. And then the Conservation Reserve Program mix, again, it also responded to nitrogen. And like the other polycultures, there is no difference in production between 56 and 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Stars to the best producers, the low diversity grass mix, the Shawnee and the Sunburst are well adapted switchgrasses. And again, there's no difference in the amount of nitrogen applied between 56 and 112. So in summary, our best producers with the Shawnee and the Sunburst switchgrass are well adapted cultivars. The low-diversity grass mix also did incredibly well there. And Liberty has potential, but it does need a little bit more work at these sites. And you can see the difference between the grasses if you look at them. The Liberty plants are really robust and very thick, and you can see why that would be a great potential crop for bioenergy. But we need a little bit more work on it in Minnesota. The nitrogen response was variable, and again, it's dependent on the soil and site conditions. And harvest, producers may have options, but not all of those feedstocks are going to be adapted to that repeat near anthesis harvest. So to translate this into recommendations for growers, first of all, plant a well-adapted switchgrass if you're going for peak productivity. If you're going for diversity and peak productivity, then definitely plant that low-diversity grass mix. Depending on your soil type, if you have a moderate fertility, medium textured soil, you don't need any more than 56 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. But if you are on a lower fertility, coarse textured soil, you will benefit from using more nitrogen, up to about 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. You may have harvest options, but on the coarse textured soil, you probably want to stick to that post-frost harvest to ensure stand longevity. The other thing about the post-frost harvest is that those plants are translocating their nutrients back down into their roots, so you're not removing as much nitrogen from the system. So over time, that could promote stand longevity and productivity. And you may have harvest options on a loam soil, but again, that post-frost harvest removes less nitrogen. So I think I have time for questions, if there are any. Yeah, so the question is if I do this with other nutrients, if we've looked at phosphorus and potassium, and the answer is that we tried. So switchgrass is actually a pretty slow crop to germinate, and we had 2 years in a row where we had failed crops because you get heavy rain and soil crusting and it has a hard time coming out. So we did successfully have one plot of phosphorus just with switchgrass, but those results have not yet been analyzed. So there are other studies, though, looking at this, for sure. Yep. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.